Father, thank you so much for your presence in this place. Thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you for every person that is represented, every family that is represented here in this building, every person that is watching online and families that are represented. God, may you open your word up to us in a way that we can grab it and apply it and see the fruit of it in our lives. We give you glory now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you would, turn me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Apostle has been imparting to us about framing our world. And one of the things that has to happen in order for us to frame our world is that our imagination of our world, of what we want it to be, has to line up with what God wants it to be. So, in order for it to line up, well, let me prove it to you. Jeremiah 29:11. You don't have to turn there. You know it says, he says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." So God was talking to Jeremiah, but he was also talking to us. He said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you." So that means God has already thought about our outcome. Yes. That's why it says in Hebrews, 12, looking unto Jesus, the beginning and the end of our faith. So that means when Jesus died on the cross for us, that means the beginning was started and the end was already finished. We just got to walk it out. So in doing that, in understanding that, and that our imagination of how our world is supposed to be, or our dreams, if you allow me to say, has to line up with the dreams of God, it's going to take us having to shift. I always say it all the time, from the pastoral model to the apostolic model, which means when we're reading the word of God, we're going to have to start reading the word of God from a God-centric point of view. We've been reading the word from a self-centric point of view. Let me explain what I mean. A lot of times when we go to God, and we're looking for God to give us answers to our situations. We read the word and we're looking to search the word for solutions to our problems. And so one of the greatest tricks that the enemy has gotten us to do is for us to focus on our issues. To focus on what we want. To focus on what we're dealing with. And by doing that, he keeps us occupied, keep us distracted from what God really wants to do with us. So I know the first thing popping into your mind and saying, okay, who's going to solve my problems? Who's going to solve my issues? How are those things going to be dealt with? Before we go to Romans 12 chapter, go to Matthew's the 6th chapter. See, the word of God was written for you, but it's not about you. The word of God was written for you, but it's not about you. We're going to look at some scriptures that you thought was about you. But it wasn't about you. It was about him. The 6th chapter of Matthew's is Jesus laying out for us an apostolic lifestyle. Jesus is laying out for us in Matthew 6 how we shift from a self-centric point of view of the Word of God to a God-centric point of view. So what I mean, let me make it simple. When I read the Word of God, I'm no longer reading, I'm talking about me and what I've learned. I'm no longer reading the Word of God trying to get out of it answers to my situation. I'm now reading the Word of God trying to find out what He wants. I'm now meditating the Word of God, wanting to find out, God, what do you want to do? What do you want me to get out of this? Not what I'm trying to squeeze out of the Word. In order for us to shift from the pastoral model to the apostolic model of the church, is going to take us not reading the Word of God focused on our issues. Matthew 6:33. What's the first word in that scripture? See, some of y'all trying to quote it, but the Word of God is important. The first word is but. First word is but. That means Jesus was talking before that and was telling us some things, but He didn't want us to keep our mind on what He said previously. He wanted us to eliminate what He said previously, and this is what said after, but is what we're supposed to focus on. All right, let's see what Jesus said before that, in 32nd verse. Watch what He says. He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Yes, sir. All these what? Things the Gentiles seek, right? He said, for your heavenly Father knoweth or knows that ye have, not that you want them, He knows you have need of all these things. But, get that out of your mind. Get that out of your mind. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, meaning the same things He was referencing in the 32nd verse, shall be added. The word shall. It is inevitable. It's not a question. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen. When you seek first what God wants, not only seek what He wants, but seek Him to do them His way right. That's righteousness. He said, all these things shall be added unto you. Look at the 31st verse. He said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He's saying, when he's talking about thinking, he's talking about focus. That should not be our focus. It should not be our focus, all those mundane things. What our focus and energy should be on is, what does God want me to do today? God, what do you have planned for me today? Go to Genesis, the third chapter. Let me show you what the biggest trick of the enemy. Genesis, the third chapter, and we're going to come back. Genesis, the third chapter. Watch this. The biggest trick of the enemy. The biggest trick of the enemy is the one he started off with. He has no other tricks. Now, let me set this up, what I mean by that. Here we are. Adam and Eve is in the Garden of Eden with everything they want. Everything they want, everything they're going to need, everything they could desire is already in the garden. When Jesus died on the cross, Galatians 3:13, Christ has what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Curse everyone that hangs on the tree, right? What the next verse says, verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come on. So that means Jesus put us in the same position that Adam and Eve were in. That means they were in a position where everything they wanted, everything they needed, everything they desired was already there for them. Are you seeing this? But what happened? Satan got them to take their focus off of God and what he wanted and put it on what they wanted. And what they wanted is what God wanted them to have anyway. Okay, watch what it says. Now the serpent was more subtle, verse 1, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the devil was trying to convince her and Adam, because we like to jump on Eve, but Adam ate too, was trying to convince them that they was going to be like God once they ate off that tree. But they were already made in his image. Watch this. What they weren't satisfied with is the pace that God was taking them. That's good. Because remember now, Eden, I keep teaching this, but I'm repetitious. Eden didn't cover the whole earth. Eden was a part of the earth. That means, because if Eden was all the earth, then when he said he released them out of darkness, where they go? So Eden was a part of the earth that God was having them there to train them. To train them for what? So they can go into the darkness. Yes, sir. And recreate what they've been exposed to. Wow. Right. So it's going to take time for God to train them. To get them to that point. Yeah. So that they can be released. In other words, all I'm saying is when Adam and Eve ate off the tree, they were released in the darkness earlier than they were scheduled to go. Yeah. And the reason why they left earlier was because they were dissatisfied with the pace that God was working with them in. Because God wanted them to know what he knows. But he had a certain way to train them so they could be accountable and be able to handle it. Because when you get in the darkness, you got to be able to be like God. Are you seeing this? So the trick of the enemy is to get you to focus on your issues. Get you to focus on your outside. Get you to focus on what's going on around you rather than get you to focus what's going on. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Turn to Romans 8th chapter. Romans 8th chapter. Watch this. Romans 8th chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Watch this. Romans 8th chapter. Then we're going to go to the 12th chapter. Romans 8th chapter and the 28th verse. The Apostle Paul writing, and the Apostle Paul says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And what else? To what? To his purpose. So that means that I could take the focus on everything that's going wrong in my life and put it on him, put my focus on him, and God gonna take the bad in my life and turn it for my good. But he can't turn it for my good if I'm in the way. How I'm in the way? When I focus on it. Or when I go to him trying to get an answer from him about my situation. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is simply God's ways of doing things. So in other words, Jesus was saying, I need you to find out from God how he wants to use you. Yes. When you put your focus on that, Jesus said, all these what?
Things.
Things are going to be added to you. Are you seeing this?
Yes.
So Satan knows this because he knew it in the Garden of Eden. Because he sat there and lied to Eve and say, hey, when you eat off this tree, you're going to be as gods. When she was already like God, she just had to let God keep pouring into her. So Satan's objective is to get our focus off of God and what he wants onto what's happening outside around us. And how can we, that's why Jesus said, take no thought. Then Jesus went on to say, which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? Jesus trying to get you to see is that as long as I'm focusing on it, God can't do nothing with it. So you mean I shouldn't be concerned about what's going on bad in my life at all? That is what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying. What's going to change? What's going to change? Which one of you, you've been thinking about it already. You've been trying to figure it out already. And most likely, it either stayed the same or done got worse. Family members, you're trying to figure out how you're going to get them straight. You're trying to figure out how you're going to get the people on the job to stop acting crazy. You're not going to change it through your efforts. Just like Eve didn't become a god on her efforts. Romans the 12th chapter. See, what I'm saying is apostle is pushing us into an apostolic mode of thinking by framing our worlds. And some of y'all are thinking, when you start framing your worlds, the first thing across your mind is, how I'm going to get the word of God to change my situation. Oh, all right, Holy Spirit. Hebrews the 11th chapter. Hebrews the 11th chapter. Yeah, I know I'm all over the place. Come on with me. Hebrews the 11th chapter. The Holy Spirit talking to me as I go. Hebrews the 11th chapter. Watch this. Hebrews 11 chapter. Verse 3. Watch what it says. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds, plural, were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So it's saying through faith. If you heard me teaching anything at any time on faith, you know I like to swap the word faith with the word assignment. It says, through my assignment, I understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So if the worlds were framed by the word of God, that means your life is going to be framed by the word of God based on you finding out what he wants you to do. See, it's not you just taking the logos and trying to command your situation to change. I'm telling you, we got to make a switch from the pastoral model, and what's now you're going through withdrawals. Understandably, we're going through withdrawals because you want to take the word of God and apply it to your situation. When Jesus said, seek ye other way, he's saying, seek what God wants. Do you know that Galatians 6 and 7? God is getting us to work a principle. Galatians 6 and 7. It says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So watch this. So if I sow my life to pleasing God and let God demonstrate through me and manifest in his earth realm, that means God dedicates his life to manifesting what I want. So we have to make this shift from focus, trying to use the word of God to solve our issues, to now using the word of God. That's where we go. Go to Romans 12. Using the word of God to condition our soul so that we can recognize the voice of God.
Yes, amen.
See, the purpose of the word of God is to condition your soul to recognize where God is moving, how God is moving, and how can I be involved.
Oh, that's good.
Because if I can find that out, all these things, if I can find that out and get involved, then all these what?
Things
are going to be added to me. All right, let me one more scripture before we go to Hebrews. I mean, before we go to Romans. You've always already Hebrew. Go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Watch this. See, it's plain, but because we were stuck in the pastoral model and it was all about us.
Yes.
Oh, we tell God it's about him, but we go to God, it's about us. And so the trick of the enemy is to keep you under pressure so that you won't spend no time with God trying to find out what he wants. So what you got to do is you got to make up your mind that you're going to get from under the pressure, whether it's solved or not. Get from under the pressure so that you can take your energy and take your focus and put it on God. Okay, God, I can't do nothing about this. Only you can change this. Ain't no sense me worried about this. Okay, God, what you want to do? Hebrews 10, 36. The Apostle Paul, right, he says, for you have need of what? Patience. That what? That before you've done the will of God. After you've done the will of God. So that means, watch this, that's a loaded scripture. After I've done the will of God, that means I have to be able to access the will of God.
Yeah.
I have to know what the will of God is. If I don't know what the will of God is, I can't accomplish it. If I can't accomplish it, it can't be no after, because I ain't never start. That's why Jesus is saying, seek ye
first
the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these
things
shall be added unto you. All the while, you're now framing your world.
Yes.
You're framing, your world is now framed by your confessions.
Wow.
When we confess, we're not talking to God. We're talking to us. When we talk to us, we are aligning our soul. We're telling our soul, we're allowing our spirit to tell our soul and our body, line up. We're going to do what God is telling us to do. That's why I'm the head and not the tail. Because if I keep saying I'm the tail, I'm under pressure. When I'm under pressure, I'm no longer focusing on what God wants. I'm trying to focus on getting to be the head. Romans the 12th chapter. All right, Romans the 12th chapter. Romans the 12th chapter. Watch this. Verse 1. The Apostle Paul writing, the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed unto this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? Verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So verse 1 is telling us we got to present our bodies. And watch this. It says that's the least you can do. Out of all what God has already, God ain't got to do nothing else but save your sin-sick soul through the blood of Jesus, dying on the cross. After that, the least you can do is present your body. The second verse is presenting your mind, your soul. Now, here's the important thing. You thought you were renewing your mind to live right. That ain't what that said. Look at verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. Another word for prove is recognize. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? So when your mind is not renewed, you can't discover what God wants. See, when you renew your mind with the word of God, your mind and your thoughts are agitated and supposed to leave off of your circumstances. Leave off of your circumstances, and now you are focused on, I'm trying to discover what God wants. See, that scripture is not about you living right. Living right is automatically when you renew your mind. When you renew your mind with the word of God, your behavior is going to change. Because our behavior, watch this. Our actions, watch this, our actions come from how we feel. Our feelings come from how we think. Our thoughts come from our environment. So if I want to change my actions, I got to change how I feel. If I'm going to change how I feel, I got to change what I'm thinking. If I want to change what I'm thinking, I got to change my environment. So when I put the word of God in my environment, I can change what I'm thinking. Means I can change what I'm feeling, which means I'm going to change how I act. That's how you conquer sin. So that's automatic, right? So when I put the word of God in my environment and I begin to spend time with God, now it puts me in a position that where I can recognize where God is moving. I can recognize what God is saying. I can see where God is moving and I get involved with it. Why? Because my mind is renewed. Now watch this. My mind is not renewed so I can solve my issues. My mind is not renewed so I can live right. My mind is renewed so I can see where God is moving. See, living right is going to happen in the process.
Yes, yes, yes.
See, that's why he said, let us boldly come. Hebrews, what, 4 and 16? Let us come boldly. That means, you know what that means? That means even if you just committed an act of sin, you can boldly come into the throne room of grace,
yes.
Get mercy,
yes, sir.
Get grace, and get back where you're supposed to be. Because if it happened, that just means Satan has been playing with you and trying to get you off base.
Yes, sir.
Trying to get you not to focus on what God wants.
Yes.
If you notice, Jesus, I believe, is in, I want to say Luke 4, I think, where Jesus was tempted.
Yeah.
It was Luke 4.
Yeah.
If you notice, the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness.
Yeah.
Now watch this. Kept him there 40 days and 40 nights with nothing. He fasted. So then the Holy Spirit allowed Satan to come find him. Jesus at his weakest point physically. He needed food. But he did not let the enemy take his focus off of what God wanted.
That's good.
Jesus had to do that because in the garden, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So Jesus couldn't die on the cross until he did that. Until he faced the devil and proved to the devil that somebody in the natural can face you up.
Yes.
Then Jesus died on the cross, got him with all power in his hand, and turned around and gave it to us.
Yes.
So that means if Jesus can be at his weakest moment physically, and still face the devil with a strong, intact spirit and a strong, intact mind, that means you going through what you're going through can do the same thing. It's just that we got to know we can do this and it's possible for us to do this. See, so Satan wants to keep tricking us and keep getting us to try to focus on our issues, focus on what's going on around us, focus on our families, that part of our family ain't acting right, part of people that ain't treating us right. Get us to try to use the word of God to get all that straight instead of simply going to God and saying, hey, God, what you want to do? God, what are you trying to tell me out of this scripture? God, what are you saying?
Yes.
Are you seeing this?
Yes.
In order for us to be an apostolic believer, you're going to have to take the focus off of you and put it on him. And watch this. Not just put it on him because of what he can do. Put it on him because of what he can do through you. Philippians. Philippians. So the first verse in Romans 12 is presenting your body. The second verse is presenting your soul. The third verse is presenting your spirit. Because it's, watch this. He said not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. That's bringing your soul down to realize that, hey, you got to pay attention to your spirit. So he's saying God has dealt to every man the measure of assignment. Your assignment is in your spirit. It's on the inside of you. So you got to know how to get out of this external world and get into this unseen world so you can discover what God wants you to do. You can't get to this unseen world if you stay focused on what's happening on the outside. See, this is why God wants you to get the focus from the outside to the inside. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is by renewing your mind with the word of God, spending time with God in an intimate way, not just passing through the scriptures. Sometimes it's better to take one scripture and meditate it. And let God talk to you through that one scripture, because through that one scripture, God can answer anything that you need to answer, be answered in your life through one scripture. But because we go to him looking for what we can get out of God, I go to God trying to open myself up and say, God, what can you pull up out of me? Oh, man. See, okay, Ephesians. Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. Watch this. The Apostle Paul is praying. And I assure you, Apostle is praying for us the same prayer. Watch what he says. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of success, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Why? That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the purpose of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you. So it makes more sense for us, watch this, it makes more sense for you to go to God and open yourself up and say, God, what is it that you placed in me that you need to pull out of me to use, rather than me trying to go into God and trying to get from him what I can? Remember, we're working a principle, Galatians 6 and 7. God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that he also reap. We got Matthew 6:33. Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Hebrews 10:36. If you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So we see a pattern here. We see a pattern that Jesus in the sixth chapter is trying to get us to open ourselves up to God and let God reach down in us and pull out of us what he planted in us from the beginning. Every last one of us has a part to play in his kingdom. And there's some people that are going to go to hell if you don't play your part. So it's more important for you to play your part than for you to get your stuff. But if you play your part, and see, this is what Apostle is trying to get us and push us. This is why it has a shift that we have to mature. We have to, Moses couldn't answer all the people. Even when he got the elders, that was only a pacifier. That was only a band-aid to the situation. Because the true healing or the true manifestation couldn't come till Jesus died. That's why Jesus gave gifts unto men. That's why he gave us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, so that we can mature, so that we don't need the elders. I can go to God and God can talk to me. I can go to God and God can tell me what's my next step. I can go to God and find out what step is ordered next. Are you seeing this? Watch this. Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. Watch this. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Talking about presenting your spirit. When you present your spirit to God, what you're presenting to God is you saying, God, this is who you are. I am who you are. Come and use me like you want to use me. So in order for him to use you like he want to use you, you got to get your soul out of the way. What I mean, get your soul out of the way. Do I say not use your soul? No. Get your soul not to focus on you. When you get your soul not to focus on you and your situation, then God can come in and begin to use you, because now you're presenting your spirit to him. That's why he said, watch this. Watch what Jesus did. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So all the Apostle Paul is telling the Philippians is Jesus did what you were designed to do. When I say all that Jesus did, I'm not belittling what Jesus said, but I'm congealing it and I'm showing you that Jesus did the most difficult thing possible so that we can do the simple things for God. Yes. Jesus came to earth, yes, followed his assignment, yes, and became victorious. Yes. Jesus set the pattern. Then he died so that we could do the same thing. Jesus, now if you read Matthew 6 chapter, I want you to take time to read Matthew 6 chapter. When you read Matthew 6 chapter, especially 9 through 13, which is the Lord's Prayer, right? You're going to notice in that Lord's Prayer that Jesus ain't asked for nothing personal. He asked for nothing personal. Listen, Jesus hit the earth, born in a manger, and people started coming looking for him to give him stuff. Jesus, all right, go to Matthew 11. Watch this. Jesus is the best example I can use. Mark the 11th chapter. Watch this. Here's going to be one of the scriptures you thought it was about you, but it's not. Here's one of the scriptures you thought it was about you, but it's not. It's for you, but it's not about you. I'm going to start off at verse 22. And Jesus answered, said unto them, talking to the disciples, have faith in God, or have your assignment come from God.
That's good.
See, some of y'all think that was just about trust. Trust is in there. You trust God enough to lead you. You trust God enough to forget about your issues and to focus on him. I'm about to prove it to you. Look at verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto what mountain?
Yes.
Now that means that's a specific mountain.
Yes.
Not any mountain. Matter of fact, underline that in your Bible. This. Jesus was making reference to something. He said that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith, right? Then he go to verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them, correct? Y'all thought 23 and 24 was talking about your issues.
Yeah.
You did? But Jesus said, this mountain.
Come on, sir.
So he's talking about a very specific mountain. What mountain was Jesus making reference to? All right, let's go back further up in the 11th chapter. Go to verse 11. So you got to learn how to read the Bible in context. When you read the Bible in context, revelation comes. See, the pastoral model have you cherry picking the Bible. I'm going to pick this scripture out to make it fit what I want to fit. I'm going to pick this scripture out to make it mean what I want it to mean. Watch this 11th verse. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about all the things was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Now, I need you to understand what Jesus was doing. Jesus was in a particular place handling business for God. Right? And look what he says. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, who was hungry?
Jesus,
right? And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. You see that? And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So here it is. Jesus was hungry on business for God. He was hungry. Saw a fig tree with leaves on it. Now, when you see a fig tree or any tree with leaves on it, it's supposed to have fruit. But here's the crazy thing. It wasn't supposed to be leaves on that tree. When he came, be part of verse 13. When he came, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs. So that means that tree was supposed to produce out of season. And it decided to ignore the creator. God was so concerned about Jesus that he was making a tree produce fruit out of season. Because it was in the pathway and Jesus was what? Hungry. So he was meeting Jesus' need because Jesus was taking care of his needs in the earth. Are you seeing this? See, Jesus didn't have to focus on anything external. Not that he didn't, Jesus was thinking because he said he was hungry. So he was thinking and saw the fig tree with leaves on it. But he wasn't focused on it because he knew God was going to take care of him. So Jesus hungry, not focused on it because he knew God going to take care of his needs. So when Jesus on his way, God commanded this tree to produce fruit out of season, but the tree didn't want to produce fruit. So that's why Jesus cursed the tree. He said, you ain't going to do this to nobody. You don't deserve to live because you ain't obeying the creator. See, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. Don't focus on what you're dealing with. Don't focus on your issues, because when you focus on your issues, it's just a trick of the enemy trying to get you to spend your energy on something you can't change. But when you focus on God and what he wants you to do, you now give him permission to come into your situation and change everything needs to be changed for you. You see why it's important that you shift from this pastoral model to this apostolic model. It shift from a self-centric point of view of reading the word of God to a God-centric point of view. Because Satan will love it. Satan don't mind it that you're reading the Bible trying to get your answers. He don't mind it. He don't mind it at all. He'll let you read the word of God all day long trying to get your answer because he know that ain't how it works. Be seated. Be seated. All right, let's keep going now. Let's keep going. Jesus left the tree, cursed it, left it, right?
Yeah.
And because I received. And because he left the tree, watch what he doing now. He left the tree. He didn't focus on the tree. Look what he did. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went to the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temples and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry out vessels through the temple. And he taught them, saying, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves? Jesus taking care of business. Jesus ain't focused on that tree, ain't worried about that tree, ain't thinking about nothing. So watch this. Verse 20, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter called to remembrance and said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said to him, have faith in God. I hope y'all hearing that. Jesus ain't said nothing about the fig tree. Ain't said nothing about the fig tree didn't feed him. Ain't worried. Ain't said nothing about why he was hungry. Ain't focused on none of that. Jesus simply said, have your assignment in God. Have your assignment come from God. Now watch this now. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. He said, for verily, continuation, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now what the mountain is making reference to? Thank you. The fig tree. The fig tree was the mountain in his way. Now here's the question. Here's the question. In what way was the fig tree in his way, or where was Jesus going, or what was Jesus doing for the fig tree to be in his way? He was on assignment. And the fig tree was trying to hinder him from doing the assignment.
Yeah.
So that means your situation that you're going through is trying to hinder you from doing what God has called you to do. So ain't no sense you focusing on the situation. You need to focus on what God is telling you to do so God can have permission to come in and change everything around you. See, that's why, see, you thought Mark 11, 23 was about you just moving any old mountain. No, some of the mountains are there for you to walk around because you're going the wrong direction. But if that mountain, if this mountain, he means specific, this mountain is in my way from doing what God has called me to do. So I have a right to curse it. So any mountain that's in the way of you trying to do what God has called, that mountain, you got total control over. You can tell that mountain what to do and it has to obey you. See, but you're trying to take, we've been trying to take, in the pastoral model, we're trying to take Mark 11 and 23 and try to take care of our personal issues. Watch what he says. Watch, you be seated. Watch what he says. Watch what he says. Verse 24. Therefore, in continuation, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, comma, when ye pray, comma, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. All right, that's it. When ye pray is a dependent clause. I can lift that out that statement and we can read it again. Watch what it says. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. It didn't say that you pray for them things. It says for you to believe that you receive them. So what I'm praying about, God, what you want? God, what you need? God, what you have me to do? Oh, y'all still looking at me. Y'all still, all right, go to Matthew's. I know I'm proving my case. Matthew the 6th chapter, go there. Matthew the 6th chapter, watch this. I'm squeezing that pastoral mod out of you. I'm gonna squeeze it out you. I'm gonna jam you so much with this word, you ain't got no choice but to change your mind. Watch this, Matthew the 6th chapter, watch this. Matthew the 6th chapter. Verse 7. Jesus talking. Jesus said, but when ye pray, use not vain. You know what the vain repetition is? Every time you go to God and keep asking God to change the same situation. It's vain repetition because that ain't how Jesus say, seek ye. So if I keep going to God, asking God to change the situation and not going to God and say, God, how you want to use me today? God, what are you saying in this scripture? God, what, how do you want to be revealed in this scripture? What do you want me to see out of this scripture? Not God, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus and according to such and such scripture, I bind this in the Jesus name. If you wait and spend time with God, he might tell you what to bind. Because it might not be what you've been trying to bind. He might tell you what to bind to solve the situation, and it might not be what you were trying to bind. Verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Right? What that B part says? I'm going to need y'all mumbling. I want everybody to see this. I want everybody to read this. The B part of verse 8, what it says. So that means God knows what you're dealing with before you ever came to him. That's why we go to the 9th verse. Jesus said, pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As Dr. DM says, watch this. As thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Is it making sense now? In earth as it is. You know what heaven is? The mind of God. He says, watch this. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is. Well, what happened here?
It already is.
It already is. In heaven. So my question is, who or what is the catalyst for it happening here on earth? I am the catalyst for heaven coming to earth. So that's why it's a trick of the enemy to get me to focus on my issues. Because he knows I am the catalyst for getting heaven to earth. So if I get your mind off of what God wants, I can block heaven. That's why Jesus started saying in the sixth chapter, take no thought. He said, don't focus on this stuff. Don't. He said, your heavenly Father knows you what you have need of even before you ask. Your heavenly Father knows all the stuff the Gentiles seek after. He knows that you have. Oh, I love it. You have need of all those things. But so when apostle is pushing us to go deep in the spirit, because notice now, notice the purpose of the fivefold. Ephesians 4 and 11. It gave us the gifts in the 11th verse for verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. To do what? The fivefold is not here to teach you how to solve your problems. The fivefold is here to teach you how to be efficient in your intimacy with the Father so that you can discover what God wants to do with you. So when you can find out what God wants to do with you, then God can have the permission to come in and change everything around you.
Yes.
That's why Jesus is saying, pray like this. When he say prayer doesn't matter, he's saying pray like this. Now I want you to notice something, and I'm closing here. Watch this. Watch what he says. Thy kingdom come, verse 10, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Look at verse 11. What it says. Man should not live by, but what? That's what Jesus was making reference to. Jesus saying, y'all have been talking about this physical bread. Y'all worried about what's going on around you. He said, I'm trying to get you supernatural bread. I'm trying to get you manna from heaven. I'm trying to get you your life. I'm trying to get you your future. I'm trying to get you everything downloaded into you so you can execute it. Watch what this prayer says. Watch what he says. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So when you, all of your prayers, Reverend Thompson teaches on prayer in a training center. Every time she teaches on the prayer, it's about what God wants. Every prayer in the Bible. Every type of prayer in the Bible is pushed toward focusing on what God wants. Why is that the case? Because if you seek first, all these Psalms 37 and 4. Did I say that? I usually get them numbers in for that. Sometimes I say 34 and 7. Is it 34 and 7? It's 37 and 4. That's it. 37 and 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. It's all over the Bible. But the enemy have been letting us go along to try to use the word of God to solve our issues. See, that's the pastoral model. The main difference between the pastoral model and the apostolic model is going shifting from being self-centric to being God-centric.
That's good.
Listen, essentially what I'm telling you is when you put all of your efforts and all of your focus and all of your love on God and what he wants to do with you, that means you allow all of his love, all of who God is, come and manifest on your behalf. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is so important. Do you know it says the fruit of the Spirit? Fruit meaning results. All those characteristics are a result of you spending time with God. And I love what the end of that 23rd verse say, against such That means nothing can stop you. That means anything that get in your way to try to stop you, God gonna rearrange it for your good. That means anything. Now here's a crazy thing. It doesn't matter what showed my life, if the bad thing that showed my life, it doesn't matter if I initiated it. God, I'll take that. As soon as I say, God, I'm sorry. God, put me back on your path. God will take that thing and rearrange it for your good. Even if you initiated it. We serve such a sovereign God. And the enemy has been focused since the beginning. All he's been trying to do is get us off of God's plan, off of God's thought process, off of what God... See, Isaiah, we read 1 and 19. But it started off in 1:18. He said, come, let us reason together. Then if you be willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. But you first got to come reason with him. You got to find out what he wants. Hebrews 11 and 1. I'm finished with this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You thought that was talking about your hope. It can't be talking about your hope. If in the sixth verse, faith is what pleases God. So if faith is what pleases God, then that means in the first verse, I am the one that brings to pass or brings to reality the dreams of God. Your instructions from God brings to pass his dreams. Your instructions from God that you execute brings to pass what God has been dreaming about you all along. Watch this. God has a self-imposed limitation.
Wow.
The self-imposed limitation is God can't do nothing in the earth realm unless one of us cooperate. He did that on purpose because he loves us. He wants us to be involved with what he's doing. Yeah. So God said, I'm going to put it on myself that I can't make nothing happen in this earth realm unless I find somebody on earth. Why do you think he asked Abram to sacrifice Isaac?
Yep.
So he can get Jesus here.
Right.
Oh. So if Abram had not been following the voice of God, it would have delayed Jesus coming.
Jesus.
I'm trying to give you the magnitude of how important it is that you shift out of this pastoral model into this apostolic model and let God use you.
Yes.
Because they got people behind you that's coming that won't be affected by the kingdom of God if you don't do what you're supposed to do today. And it's Satan's whole objective is to get you focused, or get you focused on your issues rather than what God is asking you to do. That's why you have to spend time with God. That's why you have to be intimate with the Father. And that's why you have to take time, spend time with God and say, God, what will you have me to do? He might not talk to you on day one. He might not talk to you on day two. But as you keep seeking, God is going to talk to you. He can't take it. If you go after God, God will come after you. God will come running towards you if you go running towards him. All right, go back again. I ain't heard today. Go back again. Because once God see you serious about this, God will start revealing, unfolding, making things show up in your life that you never dreamed about just because you're going after him. So again, we got to make this shift from this pastoral model to this apostolic model. We got to start looking at the word of God from a God-centric point of view rather than a self-centric point of view. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the
power
that worketh in you. You thought that was about you.
Yeah.
That ain't about you. It's according to the power. So now I got to know what God wants to do to unlock this power.
Yeah.
Then exceedingly abundantly above all these things that I ask or think can happen.
Wow.
Without the power being unlocked, the power is only unlocked when I know his will.
Yeah.
So we got to make this shift from the pastoral model to the apostolic model. We got to make the shift from being self-centric to God-centric. We have to make the shift of taking our eyes off of our situation, trying to solve it, trying to use the word of God to solve our situation, to using the word of God to open our minds to how God wants to use us. You'll be right there in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Praise God. Praise God.